Long past the hour for quitting labour, amid the smoke-filled haze of the south gate, the after-lodge crew continues to linger in the rubbish of the temple, under the watchful eyes of Right Worshipful Grand Censor Bob. Not recognised nor endorsed by any grand or subordinate lodge of regular masons, irregular masons, co-masons, Canadian masons, or internet wannabe masons, they banter on as always. Puffing cigars, drinking stale coffee, making terrible jokes, studying agency law, spreading the intemperance and excesses of digital masonry, and generally disappointing all 7 of their podcast subscribers. Do yourself a favour and stop listening now. Only trolls and masochists dare to eavesdrop upon this after-lodge banter.
Never mind. I'm doing it.
Canadian correspondent, go.
Red light. Production.
Welcome to episode 316 of the After Lodge podcast. And I had to double check that because I recently got the number wrong. And then anyway, this is After Lodge Harlan coming to you live from still in my basement because we never got past COVID. But Worshipless Producer Bruce is here.
What up, guys?
He is surviving fatherhood. Enough to sit up with us on a Wednesday night after lodge.
Surviving is a strong word.
Ah. Well, Sir Johnny looks like he's doing well.
Yeah, well, looks can be deceiving, much like Bruce thinks I would probably look good in a dress.
I don't know if I said that.
Well, I mean, I think
I said you could pull it off.
Well, I could wear it with great aplomb or something similar. But yes, probably.
That's what I said.
We had this chat going earlier because we found out John is not a fellow, which I guess makes him a lady.
Hey, well, I can
a lot Mike of Chuckles, who's a hobbit.
I am a hobbit. And I just came back from a long journey to and from Charlotte for a burial session. Your illustrious King of No Pants is back. Apparently I did meet a couple of the Redditors there. And they didn't punch me in the face, so I guess I'm doing something wrong.
You met the wrong ones then.
Yeah. Probably.
You didn't meet the ones that I paid. I mean,
right. You didn't meet the ones I had worked out an arrangement with ahead of time.
Yes.
I don't know how they missed you.
And Jamie, our Canadian affairs correspondent.
Hello again.
From
the Great White North that's currently green.
None of it.
A lot of it.
Yeah. So, I was just saying before we all started broadcasting our private conversations to the public that, you know, our lodge didn't do the big fireworks show and fair thing this year. So nothing's really happened.
Did it actually happen? Just you guys not involved?
Well,
no, so
from what I hear, some fireworks were launched. The rest of it, the jury's still out.
It was extremely rainy that day.
Also bad.
Although I would not say I cheered for rain, just, you know, if it had to happen any year, this was the year for it.
So that.
Your soul is dark, Bruce. It's so dark.
So I guess the novel thing is because we weren't out, you know, schlepping around the fair, I got to do some family stuff, which is weird for this time of year. Yeah, so I went to my brother's place and we did basically like a frat party, but
that's not family stuff.
Well, so I showed up and he's got like all these trophies lined up outside, and there's like little trophies for beer pong and cornhole and a cannonball rating competition. And course, as the evening wore on and the alcohol flowed, and then my brothers and I are throwing firecrackers at each other's feet, and you know, the kind of shenanigans I haven't done since I've been responsible, being sleepless, sunburnt, and hungover for charity for the past, God, how long's it even been? 10, 12 years. And now do that. I did a get together with the neighbors to shoot off some fireworks. My British neighbor has run off to Canada for Independence Day season. And that's what we've... It's about all we've done. We had lodge. Nobody was there.
I didn't make it to our... We're open this year again for the summer, and I didn't make it to our last lodge, but I did make it to my first shrine parade this weekend, and I got to drive around on a silly bike with messed up rims and had a grand old time. And then I dropped a can of Campbell's Chunky Soup in my toe and broke it. So my index toe...
Or your left toe?
No, my toe.
And oh, that's
yeah. So I got a nicely broken toe. That was...
But wait,
that's been my week.
You've been a Shriner for like, what, a year?
Yep.
And they're already letting you ride the wobbly bike?
Oh, yeah. And I'm considering doing a clown this year at some point and driving the wobbly bike.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
The clown mullet. Oh, it's the shit.
You're like 90% of the way to Joaquin Phoenix's The Joker already.
Oh, I'm having nightmares. Yeah.
Goofy looking motherfucker, Jamie. So you're going to be a great clown.
Well, that's it, right?
Man.
I think so. But, and I have, like, again, the hair. I could get, like, the spray hair color. I already have real hair. You can't pull my wig off because I got real big. And it's curly as shit anyway, so I put some volumizer or something in it and turn it into a great big
curls going on there. And
you're Mully. Mully with the mullet.
Oh, Jesus. Grand.
I don't like this. I don't like any of this.
I mean, I like Jamie. I like it all. He pretty much already is.
Yeah. If you get too serious, I don't want to be involved.
Mm-mm. No, sir.
Oh, yes. So it's a thought.
I
think so, too.
Yes. So, as I said, I just got back from Imperial Session last Thursday. Good time. I made lots of Bloody Marys to the point where I had guys coming from other hotels for my Bloody Marys. So that's how you know you make a good Bloody Mary, when you have guys walking 3 blocks for your Bloody Mary to go sit in the Imperial Seren Session.
Nice.
Yeah.
Ran into our old pal Sean randomly, literally just in the lobby. And then went to the NASCAR Hall of Fame. That's pretty cool. Ate a lot of barbecue. Like, I got a sample plate that had half a rack of ribs, 3/4 pound of pulled pork, 1/3 pound of brisket, mac and cheese, tater tots, and 4 smoked sausages. And that was like $30.
What city was this in?
Charlotte.
Oh my God.
Okay. And of course,
that is a lot of food.
And of course,
I thought Imperial was in Florida again this year.
No, it was in Charlotte, and next year's in Reno. Year after that's in Atlanta. And this place made margaritas, and while they lacked in quality, you could not complain about the quantity. And then
alcohol is alcohol.
And then we won our group for the little cars competition. So go us. And right before we left, Tuesday before I left, we did an EA in my lodge. So now I have to actually have an exorcism performed by the dry cleaners for my tux, because we don't have air conditioning upstairs. And it was hot. Most of us, when we walked out of the lodge room, our tuxedo shirts were clear from the sweat. And then this weekend, I'm going into the Commander of Order of St. Thomas of Aquin, which is an invitational body, another one in New York, right?
Because we need more.
And I don't know much about it outside the fact that I had to buy a whole bunch of expensive regalia for it. So I now have a better Renfair costume than my actual Renfair costume. And I got my pitch tonight to be Thrice Potent Master for Lodge of Perfection from the Valley. So Harlan got a little bit of a tear in his eye. We realized that I actually do something in the Scottish Rite.
No, you do something in the NMJ.
You know, they did sign all those paperwork and certificates and said how we're all supposed to not be douchebags to each other, right? You saw that, right?
Yeah.
It's not possible for her.
Yeah, we did that in Northern Ireland.
So I did see that.
Nice.
But, yeah, I said what I said.
It's built into his nature, Chuck. He can't help himself.
I mean, I think the Northern Masonic jurisdiction for Prince Hall Scottish Rite is probably pretty cool. I mean, three out of four in the Statement of Union is not bad.
Take what we can get.
It's just fun because I just got off of that Zoom meeting with the Grand Commander, who just got back from Boston, hanging out with the they're doing, I guess, these Grand Commander conferences now with the four of them, and they get together more frequently than I would like. I don't like this like close association with the Northerners.
Why? What's wrong with being a Northerner?
Because at some point somebody's going to try to tell me that Pennsylvania is part of the NMJ, and then there's going to be fights breaking out. It's not good. But speaking of the Scottish Rite, while we were getting ready to get on, I had raised the question, and it's kind of convoluted where this question came from, and I'll get to that in a moment. But the question itself was, what is the Order of the Silver Trowel? And I'm guessing it's a York Rite thing.
Yes.
That descends from the Order of Royal and Select Masters.
Correct. That's in Correct Council.
Which, okay, so that, and that's cryptic stuff?
Yep, that's okay. Cryptic Council.
I knew that, because there's RSM is the thing that follows all of, as the secretary of my lodge, I read a lot of people's credential resume things. And so there's always RAM, RSM, and whatever the Templar one is.
BDSM.
I think it's just KT, actually.
KT is best game, yeah.
Anyway, so, but I was looking at a map from England in particular of, it's kind of like their version of those silly paintings that you see all over the United States with the weird little pyramid thing with the arch in the middle and like the stairs up one side and the other. And
I hate that thing.
Inaccurate as hell, and it's in every lodge I've ever seen, and I hate it.
That thing.
So the English have a...
Not my lodge, more.
There's a different one, and it doesn't have that silly diagram with all of the people and whatever. Instead, it just looks like a flowchart, and I picked it up from Wikipedia.
Oh, I've seen that.
So that's how you know it's accurate. But
actually, it sort of is.
It's not too far off.
It was laying out the way that everything after the Craft Lodge is like a separate order. So they don't have like circles saying this is York Rite and this is Scottish Rite and this is like I'm used to.
York Rite's an American thing.
It's just everything is its own order. And so you go to like the Order of Mark Master Masons, and then the Order of the Secret Monitor, and then those get you admission to the Order of Knight Masons and Royal and Select Masters, etc. But the main reason I was looking at this is because it's color coded. And so there's a whole, like half of the orders are in green, which means they admit only Trinitarian Christians. And then the other half don't. And so the reason I was here is because the Ancient and Accepted Rite, which I guess is their version of the Scottish Rite, based on the emblem of the double-headed eagle and the, 33.
That would be cool.
It's green. So somehow the Scottish Rite in England is a Christian-only thing.
It used to be that way here, too.
No. So that's how this all started, because we had this debate a few shows back. And so I was doing some homework after chatting with some people here at the Rite, etc. And I eventually went looking for a list of those founding members of the Scottish Rite, the Mother Council, the first one. And so I did find a list of the 11 gentlemen, as they are known, who met in 1801 at Shepherd's Tavern in the city of Charleston, South Carolina.
Grand Commander Shlomo Goldstein.
And of those 11 men, four, and I think five of them are Jews.
Right. And what year was that?
1801.
Right. And when
there was no Scottish Rite before 1801.
Well, there sort of is.
There were degrees. There was a There was the rite of the royal secret, and there was some other weird,
which is all
green peddling things.
Very led cross
accepted right in England, which in order to, if I remember right, the way it works over there is you can be a non-Trinitarian, go up to the 14th degree, but after that you're done.
Well, but the thing that's troubling me with that is that the council that granted the patent to all of the other supreme councils of the Scottish Rite, four, maybe five of the founding 11 members were Jewish men. So how did we get from that to...
Because Pike got a hold of it and then reworked the thing into the 32nd, 33rd, because even the Northern jurisdiction stole the 32nd, 33rd thing from him. In fact, one of our degrees have a whole bunch of stuff that they like, hey, we took this from Pike.
Well, I mean, that's...
Which
that's
is really impressive, because usually you fight really hard to do.
Pike was a big guy. There was a lot to take.
And, some of those degrees, and I've seen yours too, so,
We don't have any tri-corner hats in our
wardrobe. Anyway, I'll show you yours if you show me mine. So,
those members...
Your degree is to justify having 32 of them. Same with mine. I'm not going to lie. But, however... There was something in the late 1800s where to go into the 18th degree, that's when the Christian requirement kicked in.
So it came later then. It wasn't there originally. Because Abraham Alexander, a prominent Sephardic Jew and the calligraphist of the First Order, was the Grand Secretary General of the First Supreme Council in 1801.
Yeah, I don't know what year it happened, but there was something
Israel, Billy Ben,
well, Moses with the
Kaba 18th, Levy,
the 18th degree is very Christian centric, and I know that we get a preamble beforehand.
But there are also two other degrees in that series of Council of Knights Kadosh degrees, one of which is heavily Islamic, like as Islamic as the 18th is Christian.
Yeah, and but that's
there are after, two degrees that are what very what heavily messianic, like
I know, but again, that was because, you know, again, I don't know when it happened. However, we have a degree as well that is
you're breaking up, Chuck.
I think the internet's like filtering out Chuck's bullshit.
I think it is. I think this is going to be one of our subjects for the Art de Hoyos episode. Whenever we make that happen,
I mean, Pike was around to like the mid 1800s, so it would have had to have been a while.
Right. This is what I'm saying. No,
I don't know. And again, I'm not as up. I have some of the books, like I have the copy of the Franken manuscript, and I have, you know, all the stuff that Pike put out on his Ritual and Formulae book, you know, because as much as I love the council degrees, they were Scottish Rite degrees that didn't make the final cut. And they kind of ended up getting broken off of the Scottish Rite degrees. And I'm using the term loosely because of when Jeremy Led Cross was going around peddling those degrees.
The rites founded my council. The rites didn't solidify their battle lines till later. I get that.
Yeah, so I'm not sure when those. Because if you ever told me that you had to be a Trinitarian Christian for the Royal Arch degrees or the Cryptic Council degrees, I'd be like,
why?
I don't know what you guys have read because that makes sense to me.
Even in England. Right, the Order of the Royal Arch doesn't have a faith requirement. It is one of the black orders.
It shouldn't.
Right. Yeah.
It shouldn't. It's concerning with the Second Temple.
If you flip beyond that to the Order of the Red Cross of Constantine,
that makes sense.
Or the Order of Knights Templar and Knights of Malta, which makes sense. Royal Order of Scotland makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Royal Order of Airy, whatever the hell that is.
Gesundheit? The what?
Societas Rosicrucis. Prusiana in
Anglia.
No, that's Sria. They're not invitational in England like they are here.
Then there's the Order of Holy Wisdom, the Order of Holy Royal Arch Knight Templar Priests.
Same as here.
Order of Saint Thomas of Aquin.
That makes sense since they're.
And the Order of Knights Beneficent of the Holy City. So those are the Trinitarian degree or orders in England.
Yeah, that's CBCS, which is the Martinist.
So order. The rest of us have the Order of the Allied Masonic Degrees, the Order of Royal and Select Masters, the Order of Knight Masons, the Fraternity of Royal Arc Mariners.
Yep.
In the United States, that's within AMD.
That and sounds like some kinky sailor marine shit. I don't know.
It's the Noachite degrees, Yamagata nutcase.
That was one of the original Master Mason degrees that lost out to the Heretics.
So that's the Scottish Rite Master Mason degree that doesn't get worked anymore.
Yeah, it's the Noachite degree. Just in the U.S., it's encapsulated within the AMD.
Fine. Yeah. And then the Order of the Scarlet Cord.
That's AMD.
Well, it's its own order in England, it seems.
Yeah, well, we don't do it that way over here.
Yeah, I just...
Is it AMD or is it... Because I thought that was the thing, like...
AMD.
Is it AMD proper, or one of those other weird-ass ones that's attached to Masonic Week?
It's... Well, they only do it at Masonic Week, but it's housed under AMD, just like Red Branch of Erie is.
Yeah, but AMD here is... It's like...
It's invitational.
They think they're the emperors of degrees and just own all of them.
Well, to be fair, in the U.S., the Holy Royal Arch Knight Templar Priest, the Holy Rollers, they used to have 32 degrees. Now we do one.
That's... Oh, and the Order of Athelstan. I somehow missed that one.
That
one is over here in some places. It's relatively new.
New-ish, but it's big here. And that's a York Rite Invitational only.
I guess I'll have to link this this little tree that I stole from Wikipedia into our show notes in case you don't want to hop over to the Wikipedia entry on the Scottish Rite.
Well, you'd know a lot more, Harlan, if you like actually join the York Rite.
I'm working on it. I've got my petitions in the
chapter and council, and then most of the other.
So my chapter doesn't exist yet. So we're waiting on whatever bureaucracy to get them authorized and empowered to work, and then I can go and do the York Rite degree. Well, do the chapter degrees anyway. I'll have to find a different council somewhere else.
I'll become a dual member down there just to get you through your degrees.
Yeah, I don't know when we're gonna because. So to charter a new chapter, so many of the people on the petition are Master Masons who aren't members of the York Rite. And then once all that paperwork gets going, we get cut out of the picture. So I have no idea what the hell's going on because I'm not a York Rite Mason. So all the communications about what needs to be done to get the chapter going don't include me because I was just one of the numbers that got us.
So
like, hey, I'll join the chapter if it starts.
So that's kind of the same thing with the grotto I'm starting. Or bringing back from the dead is that now I'm in the grotto, and most of us are, which makes when we get our charter a whole lot less work that has to get done for these because we only have to swear in certain guys, but we can actually be in the room when they open up our meeting for the first time and give us our charter because. Mm-hmm. So the Mark Master, pretty cool.
Mark Master is good.
There's
Crystal Pass Master is just
a lot of the older chapters will have books of things, and the Virtual Pass Master degree exists, and I'm leaving it at that. Most excellent master. Yeah, the most excellent master. To do it well, you need a big room and a large cast. As someone who's been in the dais is a past high priest, I can point out that if you're on the dais, You pretty much get to take a nap for an hour and a half.
Can't confirm.
But that is a long degree. Because you'll do, because you can do the mark and the virtual, or the virtual and then the MEM in one night if you really want to.
Because the virtual,
you ain't doing no other degree.
The virtual takes 20 minutes, and the only reason we have it is to remain in accord with England, because to become an actual Royal Arch in England, you have to be a past master.
Right.
Lodge. So we do the symbolic degree to get them as a virtual past master.
I think all of the guys that are going in this chapter in the beginning are actual past masters, though.
Well, what's funny is if you're an actual past master, you still have to receive the virtual past master, and the virtual past master does not substitute. There are slight differences between them.
It's stupid.
But I've also taken the past master society past master's degree, which I'm guessing doesn't count either.
Yeah. No. Well, so up around here, we're actually looking at taking our virtual past master degree and pretty much reducing it to almost just a historical lecture as a purpose of, hey, we do this because of X and Y. However, if you want to see this degree the way it should be done and not this mutant version, go become an actual past master of your Blue Lodge.
Yeah.
And then, but again, the Royal Arch, there is a part in that degree that makes the metal chamber look like a picnic. Would you disagree, General?
Props and all.
Oh, yeah.
I do like props.
And the thing is, you know, guys, like, well, why does it take so long to get through
the chainmail?
Long journey.
People are like, why does it take so long to get through the, through chapter? And I'm like, once you go through the Royal Arch, it'll all make sense. And they're like, wow, that was intense. No. Especially if your building has something very important that some places don't do or do not have anymore due to other reasons.
Oh, yep. Yeah.
And then council, I'm a big believer that, you should be in your Blue Lodge a year before you go to Repentant Bodies.
Agreed.
That's what I did. And I think it works out because you kind of, but I didn't do council until I moved here because the actual Pennsylvania does not require council to become a Knight Templar. Just because commandery actually formed, and that's a historical thing because commandery initially formed out of chapters.
Yep. Okay.
And then here you have to do, so I had to actually, before I even affiliate here with my commandery, I had to actually go through council. Mm-hmm. And the Royal Master is one of my favorite degrees, period. End of subject. It's fantastic, and it's got one cast part that is amazing to be.
There's,
and
I'll expand past Chuck slightly, but the cryptic degrees, if you're the candidate, that's the one and only time that I'm aware of you get to walk around with Hiram. And it's really cool. If it's done right, it's amazing.
Yeah, you should talk to Hiram Biff.
Okay.
Like before,
yep. And I also believe that the Royal and Select Master degree, we typically do them in one night. Trust me, you'll like it. And so we usually do them both in one night because they're not long degrees. They're really not.
Yeah.
Well, but the Royal and Select Masters I'll have to do at a different point because we're not chartering a council.
Yeah, but you can go join a council.
Right, but I have to get through the chapter.
And if they're doing the super excellent master degree, that is probably the biggest cast of any Masonic.
And am I going to be a pain in some secretary's ass by like showing up and trying to join only their council and not chapter as well?
Dude, that happens a lot.
We have guys who do that because there's, based just on, no, this meeting night doesn't work for me, so I'll go here. And then to say a super excellent master has a cast of, if it's done correctly,
you need at least 40.
And so we typically do it between Connecticut, New York, and Massachusetts because that degree, one, is awesome, but it, its script is insane.
And it'd be right in your wheelhouse, Harlan.
But my point, initial point was about council is that I'm a big believer that if you can do the Royal and Select Master as if you have time permitting, this is not just for you, Harlan, but anyone on the show, as close to as well you get the Royal Arch, I think it would be more impactful. Because when I did the Royal and then I did the Select, like I actually had one of those Masonic epiphanies where you're just like, the light bulb comes on and you're just like, oh my God, that was amazing. And of course, it didn't help that when I got the Royal, it was the fourth who was taking me around. So.
Hey, we're talking about this. It reminds me, I got to look for places in Virginia to visit while I'm in at my company's HQ next week.
Oh. Yep. So, I always like to visit when I travel for work. That's a cool thing to do.
Yeah, it was great. I was in Jacksonville a couple weeks ago. And there wasn't, for the 3 days I was down there, not a single Masonic lodge had anything going on.
So that happens to me a lot. I always seem to travel the week where, like, all the lodges are dark.
Last time I worked, I was in the same situation because my company's headquarters is in Ashburn, Virginia. So it's, like, you know, 20 minutes outside of D.C. But, like, except it was right when nobody was doing all. It was...
Yeah, I think even
the same thing when I went to Michigan, there just wasn't.
Well, in Florida, yeah, the Grand,
dude, the you come into the farming belt during the summer. There's not meetings. I'm just telling you.
Yeah, the Grand Lodge of Florida is in Jacksonville, and like I was there, and they were like, "Yeah, we're closed." I'm like, "Really, really?
Meh.
You're down south. You have air conditioning. Why are you dark?"
Florida man pays his dues. Wait, what?
So, switching gears slightly while we're talking about chainmail and role playing and such. So, Chuck, I've been in some YouTube channels doing the learn to play D&D thing.
Whoa!
I'm getting ready, sir. When are we? Good. Are we still doing this?
Yes, we are.
Nice. Good.
I'll bring that up in a minute. I've been a bit buried with some stuff.
I understand. For our listeners who've been seeing the blitz of show publications,
So what happened was legit. I'm making excuses so you guys can bust their balls later. I got the product 2 years earlier than I thought, so been buried in Masonic paperwork. However, in 2 weeks' time, I will do the first of the sessions. So,
okay. 2 weeks, you say?
2 weeks. You guys will have characters made up.
Are those the ones you sent out before?
Well, I mean, I'm actually going to make the character sheets up and send them to you, but yeah, those are the characters that your guys are going to be. Okay.
We take objection.
Yeah. It.
You have objections?
Don't give a fuck. I'm Dungeon Master. Either that or the butt plug, Jamie, so take your pick.
I'm not objecting. I asked John. I thought John just said he has objections.
I just heard butt plug, and I was...
You said butt plug in Jamie's next words were, I'm not objecting.
That was bad timing.
John thought he got the dress.
No.
Time to roll 20.
Look, it's 2023. King shaming is wrong. We've all had the training. I figure what we'll do is I'll have something for like a good, you know, two or three sessions, depending on how you guys go. So I've got a good Masonic idea for the quest that should make any Mason actually laugh their asses off.
We're gonna end up looking for some sort of random white hat.
You guys are planning on doing a quest to the temple to find the Ho of Dap.
The Ho of Dap. The Ho of what?
I can roll with this.
Dap.
You cut out again. I'm hearing you.
The Ho of Dap.
The Ho of Dap.
Now, is this like a gardening implement or like a compensated company kind of thing?
Or straight up sex work? Play. Let's ask it.
The job of the DM is to tell the story. You also will be. You'll make a
big battle stallion that says Winnebago RV down the side because
you'll also meet the great at some point the great mage of. What I have him written down as? He's gonna hate. He actually, to be fair, his affinity for Boom Boom Sticks is gonna make my life miserable if I ever meet him. You're gonna meet Yohoi.
You're fired. Yeah. I love it already.
Yeah,
I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, and so
we're gonna have to start early, I guess, as well.
Well, we can also do a special session on like a Friday night or a Saturday.
I was gonna say the first night would probably just all be introductory stuff.
This is something we need to like record and then like compile towards the end and release because we're gonna figure our shit out the first night, and by about the third night we're gonna have such a jam going, we're all gonna be three sheets to the damn wind.
Well, yeah. Also on top of that too is that as we're going through I know some guys who plan out Dungeons & Dragons campaigns who are typically very, you know, they have stuff planned out like weeks in advance. Mm-hmm. And I've done that. And then your party does something really stupid or amazing.
So much.
Which we will.
Stupid. And what happens is.
Chuck, you understand all of us are gonna push your bounds, right?
Oh my God. Before we actually play, I do the real role of Dungeons & Dragons like I do. Here are the real rules. I'm a dungeon master.
GM, he'll kill you.
I'm God. You piss me off. Rocks fall. You die. I am not here to narrate your fan fiction. And I am not here for you.
That's exactly what this was for me.
Yeah.
And I'm not here to. I'm not into metagaming. You know, you're gonna be your character. Like you
know what you know, so, you don't know what you don't know.
You don't, yeah, you just play shit. Like you're not trying to game.
Who's a bard who stands on street posts talking to other bards but tries to sell poorly painted Masonic aprons on the side.
Yeah, and also I do not allow actual personal attacks on the show in the game. It's like if you got an issue with somebody, you take that shit offline. You're not airing any grievances with, say,
I can't imagine anybody of us like engaging in that level of because because we're all smart enough to do it in character and just flog the out of each other.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll take my falchion and chop your hand off.
What's in there? Quack.
And by the way, make sure you guys get the player's manual because that's what you need.
That's what I was going to ask is if I should buy that because I saw it at the bookstore at the same time that I saw the a couple of Masonic exposés that were also nearby. Dragons. They had Duncan's monitor for sale for like $20 and I was going to buy it so anyone else could, but then I knew if I bought it, that would tell them it's profitable and they'd order a bunch more.
So what you do is by the way, when it comes to your player's manual, always support your local game store. Do not go to Barnes & Noble. Do not go to Amazon. I know they're more expensive. Support your local game store. I know the book's going to cost you probably $30-$40. You also need a pair of dice.
But my local game store refuses to sell Warhammer that's not of the 40K variety, so I don't know how I feel about them.
That's because Fantasy Battle. They kill Fantasy.
The next game store.
Chuck,
there's plenty in this city.
There's only the one, Bruce.
Chuck, as a guy who's played plenty of RPGs in my day and may or may not have actually LARPed, and I will not neither confirm or deny this.
We're Masons. We already
LARPed. Masons. I was going to say
LARP. We do LARP. Yeah,
Chuck's brought up his Ren Faire like four times this show already.
Yeah, but like the LARPing I did was like all White Wolf type stuff, which was fun. I mean, to be fair, I've had more than like a handful of
LARP Shadow Run, but that's usually just work.
Now he's talking Vampire the Masquerade.
Yep.
Man, I love that. But I never played the RPG, but the game was amazing, and I love the RPG elements of it. What version are we doing, Chuck?
Yeah, we doing fifth?
Five.
Hopefully, whatever version I can find a player's manual in my local game store.
Here's the situation, Harlan. Download D&D Beyond, which is their official app, and you can go through character creation and see how it's done now and create characters really quickly in the app, and you'll get an idea of how things are working.
I thought Chuck was making the people.
Yeah, I've got some
users. Yes, but you could run through it and just give you an idea of...
Chuck, I'm going to need to know who and what I am like a week beforehand so I can get into character.
D&D Beyond is the app, and you can actually download the books through that and print PDFs if you want. Because the thing is, you don't need the entire book there with you. Really.
But how am I going to argue with the game master about the rules? Right. I don't have the source material.
You don't. Because in my gaming, if we were disputing the rule, what we do is we roll. And whoever has the higher score wins.
Wait.
Is that how rules work?
Yeah.
In gaming, in gaming, when there's a dispute of a rule, whether it's Warhammer, it's like, if it's Warhammer, roll a D6. Four better, you're right. For us, a D20, you roll.
What does dispute mean, though? If, like, one person disagrees, somebody's wrong.
No, I kind of like this.
I'm smelling chaos potential.
Yeah, I can see TPKs all day long.
Yeah, the thing is,
if I challenge how an attack roll works, we just decide it by another roll?
No.
So I've got, a second chance on everything?
No.
Oh, my God, this is like Congress. I love it.
Scotty, he's got a lot of old D&D experience. I'm sure he would be willing to do it. He was going to run the D&D game before Chuck came along a few years ago.
I mean, bring Scotty off mothballs, that'd be awesome.
We're going to let Chuck do it. What are you talking about?
Guys, by the way, chaotic stupid is not in alignment.
Watch me.
Your character is already like, is
which I horribly disagree with, I might add.
Yeah, your character is already chaotic lawful.
Yes, and a paladin.
That sounds like John.
Who breathes fire. John
doesn't want to be the paladin.
Wait, what?
Who's the cleric?
That's too much.
No, that's a cleric.
Harlan's a cleric?
Yep.
No, that doesn't.
All your buffs are belonging.
I feel like Jamie should be the cleric.
Am I the bird?
You know, I can revive you, but you're gonna have to give me.
You were like a brain damaged barbarian because he smokes too much.
He's found the
Okay, but what is he in the game, Chuck?
We're
not talking about Jamie the person. We're talking about.
That's what you are. You're the elven rogue. You're the elven ranger who delivers packages from afar via his bow.
I'm alright with it. I like rangers in games.
I just can't see Bruce as an elf.
Yeah, I don't know if I can pull off the elf. I'm more of a dwarf, but that's okay.
A dwarf ranger. Look, I'm not gonna say like I have.
No,
like,
if I'm gonna be a ranger, I want to be an elf. Obviously,
a dwarf ranger would be amazing.
Gonna be an
dwarf ranger is called Gimli. That's what
I shoot axes with a bow.
Exactly.
He's got an axe launcher.
Now you're giving this experienced DM a bunch of crazy ideas, so I might have to rework these characters.
Oh, shit.
But, no, it'll be good. I'm not playing this on being like a 12-week campaign thing.
What happens, happens.
Look,
it's fun, man.
However, the intent is, a couple nights, right?
So, just to throw this out there, Chuck, I have a subscription to Sirenscape. So that is like all your D&D sound needs, and it can actually be published. All you got to do is give them a shout out in your published that you.
Oh yeah, are we going to use an app for this?
So
there's like a tabletop app we were talking about.
Well, D20.
You can play online through D&D Beyond, and it does everything for you. It keeps track of your hit points. You're leveling up. You can even roll dice through it.
Okay.
No, there's a site or an app that D20.
There's also an issue. Here's the thing. I'm the DM. So sometimes I roll something and I don't like that number because you're all going to die. So I need to, as a DM, I typically need the ability to be like,
fudge the numbers.
Or sometimes you roll something and you're behind the screen and you're kind of like, because I'm like, what the f- are these idiots doing? Like, oh my God. Okay. I got to stall. I need to stall. I need to stall. I need to stall. Looking up. Yeah, that's not me. I got to look up something up here, guys. Because, you know, you're like, wow.
That's where the editing will help, because we're going to have to edit the show. And
yeah, we will have to.
More importantly, I was thinking if there's a video component, like I don't know if the app offers anything for anyone who wanted to follow along.
So
we can look at those kind of logistics D&D later.
D&D Beyond does some. So the thing is, on a phone, D&D Beyond is kind of I guess on a tablet or a laptop, it's
it'd be a little better there. Yeah, it'd be a little better there for sure.
But the thing is that for me, I'm probably going to do most of my rolling live with dice because I can't, because the thing is when you do it on in some of these apps, it shows everyone what the roll is and you're kind of like, you're all dead. We've been here for 20 years. And, you know,
as far as show purposes, could we, I don't know, maybe set up an extra computer and camera so that one screen would be just all of that stuff?
That's the kind of thing that we'll have to work out.
Yeah.
More relevant to our current live stream is, do these characters like know each other because they're all members of this like secret lodge in town, or what's the Masonic tie in there?
You guys are all from various Masonic guild lodges in your capital. So you're not all from the same guild. You're all from various regions.
So like Stormwind.
Except for Jamie, who is the half oak, the half orc exactly. Barbarian.
Somehow showed up.
Speaking of half orc barbarians,
we got a show crasher.
Crash the show.
Woohoo!
Who's been a long time?
Yes, Brother Sean, it has been a long time.
Hey. Welcome.
For you guys.
Are you still associating with this cast of characters?
Well, he stuck with me, and he unfortunately got shot.
Yeah, I heard that. At the Grand Grotto, right?
That's so funny.
I'd have rather been there.
Is there an Imperial Grotto? Is that like a thing? Is that a
council?
The Supreme Grotto.
Okay. Yeah, right.
All 15 or whatever.
Where the hell are you at, Sean?
Sounds like he's driving in a vehicle.
Well,
so
I know he's driving in a vehicle. He's driving
We don't encourage video conferencing while driving.
Well, no.
He's passenger, you can tell. Unless he's driving in Europe.
Well, in that case, you're fine.
Hey, chauffeur. Come on, hit the kid for me. I mean, out of love.
Stick a pencil in his ear.
Sean's son Ian, who I've known since he was a young teen, so... Where the hell are you boys going?
Shopping.
So who's getting a new motorcycle now?
Oh, motorcycle shopping.
I do need to buy a winter vehicle.
Wait, winter?
Wait, what?
A motorcycle?
Yeah, it's like a, like, you never seen a motorcycle?
That's a snowmobile. Oh, gotcha. Right. Yeah. Snowmobile. That's your winter motorcycle. No. Right. Yeah.
No, a winter motorcycle, it's got four wheels and four doors. It's called a sedan.
Well, then it's not a motorcycle. It's still a car, Chuck. You need to be exposed to the elements to be on a motorcycle. So give me a sled, you know. Rip up some snow.
Yeah. All right, Malay.
Go deal with some degens from up north.
Yeah, sorry, I tossed out the we were in the first 5 minutes and I shot the notice to both Sean and James to see if I can get them to crash the show for fun.
I think James is in a medically induced coma by his wife.
I mean, I've met James and I love her. I love, you know, his wife's awesome and I wouldn't blame her for doing that to him.
Slowly slipping him out of van and all of his food.
You know, because there's been times I've wanted to medically induce James into a coma with a rubber mallet.
That's not medical. That's blunt force coma. That's fine too.
Well, it depends on the era that you're talking about.
Well, I mean, I was a medic, so I'll argue that would be medically induced. I'm just not saying like prescribed or, you know, sound.
Yeah, that's like me going, "Hey, I'm a doctor," smacking you in the head with a rock. Wrong kind of doctor, but still, I'm a doctor.
To be fair, that wouldn't surprise me for 1 second if you actually did that to anybody at all.
You've done that before, even.
I plead the fifth.
You've probably done that in a Grand Commandery meeting. Hey, I'm a doctor.
There was a time your bartender was also your dentist, so, you know. Your barber was also your dentist, so.
That's true.
It's not too many stretches there, guys. Somebody's got to have sanitary tools.
Use it as much as you can.
That's fair. We started talking about the Scottish Rite, and then we drifted off into York Rite
of the Dragons.
Bodies, and then D&D.
I'm not allowed to talk about that topic anymore.
Yeah, well, neither am I, because our SGIG probably wants to hang me from a freaking yardarm. So,
what's that have to do with Commander?
What's it?
What does the Scottish Rite do with Commander?
You'd be amazed.
Hey, you know I'm smiling too.
Yeah, no. That's, well, you know, it doesn't have anything to do. Just if you're gonna come to the other side of the fence, make sure you don't act like an asshole. And that's not, I'm not talking about our SGIG for complete disclaimer. However, remember your title stays on your side of the fence. That's what that is. And definitely does not travel into Blue Lodge either. So,
no.
It will out of courtesy if the person wants to provide you that courtesy. However,
no, like when I
sell your shit down if you don't get it.
No, when I get appointed to my particular grand line, they announce it in my lodge. Same way, like when a past special lodge was appointed, an elected potentate, like we do it, like, hey. This is cool. We're doing stuff here. If you just recognize me on a regular basis, I'd be like, that's... And by the way, the deputies from my state agree with that. They're like, guys, like, Anna's the active for the state of blah, 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 33rd, blah, blah, blah. He's like, this is Blue Lodge.
That's how that should work.
I agree.
I met once upon a time, this was probably 5 years ago, and I thought a member of my valley for the Scottish Rite, and he was invited, and I'm not obviously not going to name him because he's a decent enough cat, but he was invited to attend a younger member that he knew who was becoming master, and he went to the, you know, it wasn't, they didn't do like an open installation or whatever, it was kind of in lodge. But then he showed up and he threw on his white hat and he was wearing it in lodge. He's like, what's going to do? Kick me out? Kind of humorously, I'm like, actually, if I was the master, I probably would have actually thrown the gavel and hit you between the eyes. Because, no.
Yeah, my DD would not have, or the Grand Lodge representative there would not have been pleased about that one. And the actors from my state probably would have pulled him out by his curlies.
Yeah. I mean, I've asked our Grand Lodge rep to be quiet once when I was master. Because he was...
That's well, I mean,
after beat on my guys.
Yeah, that's a thing I should have done.
I mean, we get invited to things York and Scottish Rite together where you get invited because you are the X and or X's representative and you're going to be received. Now, I will say this, and I do agree with the actors from my state, is that if you're like seven things, just go through the reception line at the grand session once. Just have them list all your time and then go once.
Yeah.
Saves time.
It's also really tacky when you see the guys like change their regalia as they're going through. I'm like,
so they can go through twice?
I'm like, or three or four times.
Yeah, that happens.
Now, it will be funny in my
state. Like the guy at the grocery store who's going through the free sample line and puts on like a fake mustache.
Yeah.
and then glasses and goes through a third time.
With even less class.
The the way things are working is that our current Grand Commander, and who is our current Deputy Grand Master, will have overlap for like 6 days. So we're sitting there going, you know what? I cannot wait to see you as the newly installed Grand Master receive yourself as Grand Commander. I want to see that one.
That might actually be funny.
Well, we're trying to some of us are trying to – he's got a very good sense of humor. So
it's helpful.
When we told him this, and the guy who told him this is in my line, he's a retired senior chief, so he's definitely got a sense of humor. And he was the first person to realize this, and we're like, oh my God, he's got to do something. He's got to like do like a thing where he's talking to himself on a screen, pre-recorded, like Jurassic Park. Like, know what he's gonna do. And I really, really like this brother who's gonna be the Grandmaster next year. He's gonna do something. It's gonna be awesome, and none of us are gonna see it coming. Like, he literally might like figure out some way to like give himself a giant bear hug, like with a 3D like hologram of himself. Which, if he does that, I wouldn't put me past me. It's gonna be amazing.
Son of a bitch.
Yes, I am.
No, I'm trying to. I'm traveling my company's HQ next week, and I'm trying to find anything within
any lodges.
20 miles of Ashburn, Virginia, in which DC's within 20 miles and nobody's meeting.
I would suggest checking on the Reddit, but
no, I've done that, and guys, I get radio silence.
No, I'm not. I don't do the Reddits. I have an account, and I'm only slightly less hard to find than Bruce on the Reddits.
Jason Mitchell.
To be honest, I didn't know Reddit was still up.
Have you tried?
People still use, like, normal people still use
Reddit? I haven't signed into my account in years. I mean,
Slashdot is still up, so Dig is still up.
Fair.
I could probably find Napster if I looked hard enough.
Yeah, probably. No, Jason Mitchell popped back up on Reddit recently. I'm like, wow, I guess he's finally done being in all the Utah lines.
He wouldn't talk when he was in the lines there?
No.
No, he literally didn't have any time.
Oh. I thought he might have had a gag order on him or something.
He's a giant Italian New Yorker who lives in Utah.
Not many people are going to tell him to shut his mouth.
He is why I'm here. Because when you guys posted on the book, on the Reddits, looking for a guest one night, they were like, it's your turn in the barrel. And then I never left.
I don't know who to blame.
Yes.
Yeah, it was him and TV.
Somehow he's still there. All right, so back to the important stuff. So 2 weeks.
Yeah, from 2 weeks will be able to be. So 2 weeks. So since it's going to be rainy and shitty, I'm going to work on getting your guys' characters with a little bit of backstory. Because the thing is, I want you guys to flush out your characters yourselves.
Okay.
Right.
So it's kind of like, hey, you're this. This is your race. This is your class. This is, you know, your basic skills. I'm thinking levels start around 4, so it's a little bit more interesting. Like, because
I don't know what that means, but I will before then.
So levels go 1 to 20, right?
Okay.
20, you're fighting gods. Really, level 10. You're having level 1 to 3, you're expected to die a lot. And because you're just some greenhorn out there off for adventure and gold, and then you're dead because you got freaking killed. So, but the thing is, like, there's like the monsters or encounters I could throw at you. Like,
so at a level 4, we're like 25-year-old current sitting masters newly installed in a room full of past masters over the age of 60.
Which is what you guys, each of you, need to figure out what you are. Because the thing is that you've got a class ability at this point. You're not multi-classing because that can get funky. But I can do some. You're powerful enough where I don't have to worry about like some dumbass, you know, person giving you
tryptophan.
No, the pamphlets. Those things. Where I don't have to worry about like those goblins like taking the entire party down because they're nuts.
I'm shooting axes from far away. We're good.
I'm gonna find a way to work that in. I'm gonna figure that out.
Small axes.
Yeah.
Now, if you were Brunner Battlehammer, your axe would your dwarven range weapon would be Aegis Fang.
If you can throw an axe, you can shoot an axe.
I mean, I might bump you guys up to level 7, but probably not more than that because then
that sounds like too much. That's too much responsibility already, Chuck.
Well, the only thing I can see with starting at 7, Chuck, the only
you
thing
need
I
to
can
plan
see
on me dying number, a lot, no matter what level you make me.
Number one, I think this might end up being more than you expect it to be. So starting at 7 is kind of starting high. You know what I mean? The only other thing is, starting at 7, depending upon where you're at, your character has enough abilities and stuff that you didn't, as you could say, grow up with the character that you might not think of it. You know what I mean? So that's my only downfall to that, but that's...
Because I was thinking 4, because again, I've got some stuff that lets me nerf down certain encounters. There's certain creatures I'm going to make Masonically that I can nerf down.
Mm-hmm. I want to point out that like at least 90% of our audience has switched off at this point, but the other 10% are just like absolutely drilled in.
Probably watching. Yeah.
The Reddits cannot wait to see this show or shows.
What's left of the Reddits?
I'm stoked for it. I've honestly been wanting to do this for like, I don't know, 10 years we've been talking about it.
Well, and I've got some time, so I'm gonna start putting the actual characters together. And what I will probably do is I don't like the whole here's your points, build your character.
Okay.
So I will give you guys your dice and I will tell you your scores. And I'm like, all right, figure out where you want to put. If you guys want to be a wizard, I mean, actually, I don't have a wizard here, but like, let's say you're a wizard and you put all your stats in armor and like strength one in intelligence. I've had a friend do that once. And he's like, I have a brain damage sorcerer. How's this work? I'm like, so you pretty much just randomly yell out words and spells happen.
You have to roll a fail for it actually to hit somebody else.
I've had some campaigns where there have been characters that have died in hilarious ways. There was the one who was the paladin who got turned into a vampire who killed the vampire lord by hugging him, casting his paladin spells, and blowing them both up. And I was like, well, that is one way to win the campaign.
What should I do? Yeah. No, you're good.
Yeah. So I said, I'll get some stuff out within a couple days.
I'm just wondering, like, D&D Beyond, I think, again, you might be able to make the characters and actually send them to us if we have D&D Beyond logins, which I created just by using my Google account.
Well, yeah, and again,
just make sure you use code After Lodge.
I need to try it actually out on my laptop because
in the case of that Canada Dry.
I've used it on both because, of course, your profile goes back and forth and all your stuff follows from one to the other. And
app itself on the phone sucks.
Yeah, it's not. Well, I mean, if you want to put together characters quickly on the move, you can, and then fine tune. Do you know what I mean? Like if you had a base idea for a character, you could put someone together pretty quick that way and then fine tune it after. But when playing, you'd have to use a PC because the information is not laid out well enough on that small of a screen. There's too much to have.
Well, it's also because I have a bunch of expansions, so like I can like add things to your characters that like I'm not, no offense, I'm not buying $300 worth of D&D books again. I will photocopy you guys the rules and send them to you for your character. Like if I give you guys something special from some of the books I'm looking through, because I'm right. pulling from a bunch of stuff to make,
but you as the-
to make the mace aspect work. Because again, like, you know, I've had D&D campaigns where like the first session was, there was one campaign I did. It was session 4 and they hadn't left the tavern yet. And I literally had to like make, so I set the tavern on fire to make them finally leave and go do stuff.
Nobody make That's decisions on what they want to do or what?
No. There were a bunch of neckbeards who couldn't get out of their own way, like, over, like, that, well, the thing was, that was during, let's just say that there were the rules. I know a lot of people don't like, there's a lot of people who don't like 5E, because 5E puts a lot of effort on the Dungeon Master side, and guys are like, oh, Pathfinder's so much better. I'm like, Pathfinder is just 3.5e, where everything is 100%, like, it is, the joke about that was, it was Dungeons and Spreadsheets.
Yeah.
I like Pathfinder.
So do I. But I haven't played it before. But I have, but only a couple sessions. But I do like the game mechanics.
I've never played a D&D, but as far as the translated computer games, I've played Pathfinder, I've played Divinity. What's the other big one? Baldur's Gate.
Well, Baldur's Gate, Dungeons and Dragons.
That's what I'm saying. Like, all three of those games are essentially D&D rules.
Yeah, no.
See you, John.
No, Pathfinder, the game, is different. It was the open rules license, there are things you can do on D&D that are, like you can 100% randomly generate everything you do in a D&D campaign. Like there's books that let you do that. Problem with Pathfinder is every game is like that. If you actually play the game, like the D&D game. But like I have the ability to pull like crazy shit from like Call of Cthulhu, right? Like, cause I have some of those books and and the thing is a lot of this, there are a lot of games out there built on 5E now. Like you can play an alien as in like the Sigourney Weaver alien or aliens or G.I. Joe based off of D&D rules. Like those exist.
Game mechanics, yeah. It's base mechanics.
So the thing is there are things I can pull from for a game like this, which depending what you crazy motherfuckers do, you guys might unleash some eldritch horror when you're at a bar.
Is 5E different from just 5?
5E just means 5th edition.
Yeah, 5th edition, same thing.
Oh, okay.
All
right.
Yeah.
So, have you ever heard of Delta Green?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've smoked it. It's great.
No, the game, which is it's a different type of mechanic, but it seems interesting too.
Well, we'll do 5E for this one, and because I said I got tons of stuff I can use, and if I decide to look at some stuff and give you guys something more interesting, I can do that because I'm the Dungeon Master, and I'm telling the story. How the story goes, it is choose your own adventure. You know, I've had campaigns where I have this big old dungeon crawl planned, and turns out that they just like blew up the gate to the entrance to this cave, and they were like, "Wow, are there any other entrances? We're going to do a search." And the way the rules worked out, there were no other entrances into this dungeon. I'm like, "Well, I need a week off, guys, because I have no idea. I planned on this for like 3 weeks of filler while I did the rest of the campaign, and you guys ended it in 25 minutes. Like the pizza's not even here yet. Damn it!" Which is fine. That's what I said. That's why I don't plan certain. I had some key points I want to hit, and the in between.
Yeah.
I make it up as I go. Like, I reach so far. I reach up my ass. I tickle my tonsils. And I pull out, not gold, but it's usually not shit either.
You know, tin, bronze. But, I mean, that's fine, Chuck. That's kind of how the show is run. All right, so 2 weeks from now, we'll be doing that.
Yeah, whether we want to do it on a Wednesday or
put a Friday night.
I think so.
A weekend thing? I think it's a weekend thing. Because I think we all need to have a couple.
I mean, that's...
Well, I don't
know in advance.
So I can't usually run a campaign mostly. Usually, I'm the guy having drinks after the campaign.
Yeah, so, I get that.
Because I can't typically control everything. I'm usually good. Honestly, a good session or two to start off with. Usually, unless it's really rolling, I'm good for about two to three hours. Depending on what you guys are doing. Mm-hmm. Because there's some encounters, some stuff, especially, like I said, if things start blowing up in my face, I will be like, hey, we're done, because I don't know what the f*** I'm going to do here anymore. Because,
Chuck, we're all aware that you're a vengeful god.
Yep.
I don't think I should have to be vengeful with you guys. Because you're not some of the issues I've had D&Ding. But it's pretty much... I'm not trying to beat you. That's why I am a good dungeon master. I'm trying to help you guys go through a story. And the fact that that story is full of alcohol and tobacco and bodily fluids...
No tobacco.
Tobacco.
There's no tobacco.
Wacky tobacco.
I'm tobacco free still.
Yeah, that's good, man. That's a rough thing to do. But you're that's too much.
I have for now. I'll take up cigar smoking again at some point, but I can't.
I finally got some Solomon Hiram cigar or Hiram. Cigars at Shrine.
If I had a cigar right now, like that little tickle of nicotine would
put you right trigger back
me, and I would be trying to inhale the damn cigar, and then I'd be laying on the floor, like turning blue and puking, and nobody wants any of that.
Well, we don't like to see that, to be honest. But...
Yeah, okay, that's because my friends are assholes. I am planning on heading back to my favorite cigar bar for my birthday here in a few weeks. So. Bruce,
Let me know when.
Yeah,
I can come. I'll come.
I think that'll be the first time I've had any small dosage of nicotine since I cut myself off, which has been a month and a half now. I'm trying to get close to 3 months. I think ought to be a good time to have a cigar.
I didn't have a cigar when I don't have them that much often, but I had to wait about 10 months after I quit smoking.
Yeah, I'm apprehensive. Like, am I waiting long enough? Worst case, I go through my hating life phase again for a few days after my cigar.
I've heard 3 months is all it takes to form a habit. So
I'm not. I'm not picking this back up, right? Like, I had this issue developing after my lung infection thing with whatever up here. I was on this inhaler. And I got to the point where it was like 4 times a day just to keep breathing. I was hitting this albuterol thing. And I had an appointment with an allergist, and we were doing all this stuff. And somewhere in the middle, I somewhat spontaneously decided that I was just going to quit vaping, smoking, and everything else. Turns out the vaporizer was the root of all of my ills. And about 3 days after I stopped haven't used the inhaler since. Not one time. So that's kind of my motivation of like, well, I guess I'm not picking that up again. However much I may want to, I really like breathing.
Breathing is better. Air is awesome.
I think that's the thing. So I smoke cigars and I also smoke a tobacco pipe, but I don't do that day. Like, shit, I even do that. I usually don't even do that weekly because I just,
yeah,
I don't have the time to do it. And, like the plus side is I did get the Hiram Solomon cigar pack from at Shrine, but I'm looking at my humidor and I'm like, it's kind of full. Like,
that's what was so bad about vaping was that I did have the time because I work at home a lot. So,
yeah, I can't do that at work. So.
Sitting at my desk, like on meetings, like flipping between mute and the vape thing, and it just.
Hiding under the camera and taking
the vape. It was a lot. And then when I kind of had an inkling that it was what was causing my issue. So I, you know, funnily enough, ended up smoking instead, which wasn't aggravating my stuff. And I didn't need the inhaler from that. It was something about vaping. But, you know, I'm not going to go backwards. Like, I wasn't going to start smoking cigarettes full time. So it's time to quit. Time to give it up. I'm too old for this. Leave it in the rearview mirror. And so for three brothers that might be interested, Alan Carr, I don't know if he's still alive or not, but he pioneered this cessation program. He called it the Easy Way. I am an evangelist for Mr. Carr's program now, and I highly recommend it to anybody. If you can't make a seminar, buy the book. I did it. I was very skeptical. I went into it with a skeptical attitude, but you know, I finished his program. I smoked the last cigarette as instructed, and I never really, I mean, I felt the urge to smoke again, but like I recognized what it was. I didn't want to. It's hard to explain, but it worked.
First my dad quit smoking when I was like 4.
Yep.
And I'm 41, and he is, you know, he's in his 70s now, and he said, he's like, there's some times he's like, God, I want a cigarette.
Oh, no, that's still a thing.
And then he realizes he wouldn't have made it to 71 if he had been smoking
cigarettes. I mean, I dream about it.
My his younger brother, my uncle, passed away mainly due to the smoking. Yeah.
I've literally dreamed about it, but I'm able, thanks to Mr. Carr, to go through that like self-diagnosis thing of, do you really want that, or is it... It's really hard.
Every once in a blue moon, I'll catch a whiff of somebody else smoking.
Yeah, and then
and for a second or two, like I'll stop and I'll think about it, and I'll be like, "Oh, that sounds good right now."
Yep.
But other than that, like I don't ever have a craving.
Yeah.
That used to happen to me in the wintertime. That was weird. I loved to smoke outside in the cold. And if I walked out of some place and someone was just past the entrance having a cigarette in the cold air, I was like, yeah. "Oh, I want one." That was for a long time, man.
I mean. I used to dip back like in high school and my first year of college, and then when I got sick and you're in the hospital that much, you ain't dipping because they won't let you bring it in.
Yeah.
And but you know, there's times where I know some people who, you know, they do it at work, but they don't have a spit cup, they just gut it, and I'm like,
ugh.
You know, I just don't have that in me. So there's times like where I get a whiff of it or I'm like, God, I like one of those things. I'm like, or I could just not put it in and not vomit for like 6 hours uncontrollably because I haven't had anything like that. And I'm going to put a big old wad in there like I'm freaking 18 years old again. And next thing I know, like I'm dead because I'm on the floor like in my own vomit because – my body goes, hey, you're in your 40s now, dipshit. What are you doing?
You can't do that.
Kind of thing. So we'll be doing this here in a couple weeks, and the local cleric is too old for tobacco, but there will be lots of alcohol. So until then, brothers, we're going to go ahead and put a cap on episode 316 of the After Lodge podcast, since we already lost John. You can find the show notes for this or any previously published episode at www.afterlodge.com. Find us on Facebook or Twitter at After Lodge. Shoot us an email at afterlodge@gmail.com. Hang out with Jamie and I guess Jeff on IRC at irc.snoonet.org, /Freemasonry. Ooh, I haven't looked at an IRC client since I swapped laptops. We'll talk about that later.
That's such a weird
and of
side.
Course You can find Chuck as the King of No Pants on Reddit. If you find Bruce on Reddit, you win a special prize. And I am still lurking around. I don't know where I'm going to be the next couple
weeks. Threads?
But yeah, no. I swore off Facebook, Bruce, a long time ago. And I've stayed Facebook sober.
And you're missing out on,
I know you may, you know, not. A lot of people don't know this, but
sparkly things.
But the gram is just Facebook in a different package.
I see you next week, so, Reddit. Yes. Have a good
later.
Toodles.